Questions and answers in Islamic upbringing.
I have a son. He's really in fond of football, and he's so weak in his lesson courses. I really don't know what should I do.
Could you tell me when we have to start upbringing of our kids, that is, from the very beginning of the birth?
I have a little son, and he's so disrespectful. I want to know how to treat him according to the teachings of the Ahlul Bayt, peace be upon them.
Answering parents' questions in upbringing their children in an Islamic way.
Do you know what Islam is? It's a way of life for all. It is taught in the Quran for big and small.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. A very warm welcome to yet another episode of Islamic Upbringing. In this program, we answer your questions, issues that you have regarding the Islamic upbringing of your children. The answers are based upon Noble Quran and the narrations from Prophet Muhammad, may peace be upon him and his purified family. Well, today in our studio, we have had this pleasure to invite Professor Salman Nakavi, who is a faculty member at Al Mustafa University. Assalamu alaikum, sir.
Alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah.
A very warm welcome.
Thank you very much.
Well, in today's episode, we are going to ask you certain questions that are going to help our parents to carry out upbringing in a better and Islamic way. Well, when it comes to clothing, everyone wants to be relaxed at home. He wants to be in the very easy clothing, whatever, when it comes to women, when it comes to men, when it comes to children, everyone loves to be at ease. However, in this easiness, sometimes we forget what is called as modesty. What do you suggest to the women, especially the mothers, who are actually facing their teens all the time, at dinner, at morning, breakfast, lunch, and all the time in the family, and they are easy in their dressing? What do you say about that?
Yes, thank you very much. So it's just important that ladies, women, mothers take care of their modesty, because again, the most important factor is human dignity. Our children must be imbibed with the fact that we need to preserve that dignity, as I've been saying before, and therefore and clothing is the apparent feature of the human being. Whatever is within should be reflected in without. So the way you dress, the way you cover yourself up is very important and shows that what respect you have of your own self as a human being. And therefore, if you cover yourself in the proper way, in an appropriate way, in a modest way, you will be showing that you within yourself, deep down in your heart and in your soul, you are a person who respects yourself and wants to maintain your respect and dignity as a human being. And when you show this model to your children, they will also be imbibed with the same sort of respect for themselves. So in our interactions with others, human dignity should be the main issue that has to be
reflected.
Everything else, freedom to dress as you like, should be again controlled by this factor that freedom, we can be free to unclothe at all like animals, but that does not preserve our dignity, does it?
Indeed.
So freedom, animal-like freedom, one of the great scholars, Shahid Mutahari, said that if less clothes means civilization,
animals are more civilized.
Animals are the most civilized things. So therefore, we need to take care of this aspect that clothing is a reflection of our inner personality. So, especially for the teens, especially those who are very easily aroused. Their sexual feelings are aroused at that age of when they're near to puberty, or they're entering the stage of puberty. So any sort of stimulus that causes that arousal has to be refrained from. especially by ladies, the girls of the even the girls, sisters, siblings, they need to take care of that. And again, that does not mean that this modesty is
restriction.
Restriction.
So what?
Oh, it's not even restricted to girls. Even boys today.
Yeah, I wanted to ask the same question, but let's have a sip of water. Come back after a short break. Dear listeners, stay tuned.
This is Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran.
Contact us at EnglishRadio@irib.ir.
Welcome back. You're listening to Islamic Upbringing. I'm Zainab with Professor Naqavi, and we're discussing something very important. Professor Naqavi, before going to the break, you said that it's not just girls, it's not just women who have to take care of their dressing in front of their mothers, in front of their sons or daughters, in front of their fathers. It's even boys and fathers.
Certainly. As far as ladies and girls are concerned, and their clothing should be such that it's not revealing those aspects of the body which create that stimulus. And even the contours of their body should be taken care of. You may be fully covered, but it's tight fitting and shows off your body contours, and that's also problematic. As far as boys are concerned, so anything they wear or how they dress, it may be it may stimulate the feelings of girls. So it's both ways. Their hairdressing, the way they dress, make their hair, that's also the way they keep a beard or they don't keep a beard or whatever. So everything which is, as I said, superficially that can be seen creating these stimuli which have to be curtailed to control the feelings and not to stimulate them to come to a stage where they cannot be controlled. So of course, a girl or a boy wouldn't be if it's a religious family, he or she would not be going to express himself or herself within the house. Then he would be looking for opportunities and openings outside the house.
Yeah.
And that would be problematic.
Yes, indeed. So what gets clear over here is that even if they are mahrams, what has to be taken care of that they don't need to act as stimuli that creates that arousing or feeling inside the home or outside the home. So even if they're mahrams, you have to take care of a lot of things. You don't have to act as stimuli. The major thing that has to be taken care of is modesty.
So basically, we need to take, as I said, the major factor is human dignity. Clothing, dressing is important. The way you talk, as I have been saying also before, the way you talk also stimulates people. In the Quran, it has been said wives of the Holy Prophet have been addressed and they have been asked to manage the way they talk, the tone of their, لا تخضعن بالقول. And the way you talk should not be arousing.
All right.
So everything is important. All those things which are apparent, our behavior, actions, clothing is one of them, talking, the way we walk, the way we talk, it's important.
All right, so it's not just clothing here. It's clothing, it's walking, it's talking, it's your tone, it's everything.
Everything. Maybe you are wearing ornaments, jewelry, or you are using lipstick, or you're using other forms.
So you're trying to say that any small thing or big thing that acts as a stimuli, as you mentioned it, should be avoided.
Exactly.
Even if it's in front of your mahrams, avoiding, like, except your husband.
In our traditional families, it was very conventional that girls, ladies, would even cover their heads in front of their grandparents or grandfathers or whatever.
Indeed. So, I'm from the same culture and I know that. So let's discuss more about the culture with our audiences after a short break. Dear listeners, stay tuned.
Ya Muqiyya Al-Khayrat Ya Muqiya al-khayrat, Ya Muqiya al-khayrat.
The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam said, honor your children and teach them good manners.
Ya Muqiya al-khayrat, Ya Muqiya al-khayrat.
Welcome back. You're listening to Islamic Upbringing. I'm Zainab with Professor Naqavi. And before going to the break, we said an interesting point in the Asian cultures is that in the traditional families, which are joined, where almost people live together, girls covered their hairs or still cover their hairs in front of their grandparents or in front of their mihrams. Like I remember when we used to sit on our dinner table, and our mother used to show us with her eyebrows that some of your flicks are showing off your hair is visible. So we used to get curious and we used to cover our hair very properly because our father was staying next to us. So I remember that modesty. I remember that culture of ours, which is kind of like one of the very good things in a very, it actually covers all that modesty that we have been talking about.
It's not even peculiar to Muslim societies. Even Hindu traditional societies and many other religions, they observe hijab. Hijab is not something just typical for Muslims.
And even in Hindu culture, since I've been from India, in Hindu culture, the women of the house, be that in front of their mahrams, non-mahrams, whosoever, especially in front of the elders, they cover the entire face with the sari they are putting on, which is called as ghungat our culture.
So that's it. I mean, this westernization of the society in many places, even in the East, those societies which have become westernized or they have become influenced by Western societies, you don't even have joint families now. And so many of the manners which are observed and learned in joint families, living with parents and grandparents, that's unfortunately in societies
fading out.
That's fading out. So that education, that upbringing which has to take place in families, in a joint family system, that's not taking place. Because certainly when a boy and a girl are married, they are young, they don't know many things. When they have their children, they don't know how to deal with them. But if they're living with their parents, and the children who are born are living with their grandparents, they can teach them a lot of things that the parents can't do.
Exactly, because of the experience.
Because of the experience. So in traditional societies, especially in Asia, in India, Pakistan, such societies still maintain that
traditional
thing. So
that actually brings out all that modesty within
exactly.
itself. Well, I remember last night I was watching a video wherein an Indian couple was being asked by an American anchor that in your culture, you live with your parents. How does that happen? And the beautiful answer that the male of the couple gives is that you live without your parents. How does that happen? So yeah, it's actually parents who do so much for us, who sacrifice so many things for us. And then we all of a sudden, after getting married, forget each and everything, forget all those sacrifices. I'm not saying over here that we should be living with our parents after marriage, taking care and being grateful to them always for all their sacrifices is something that's very, very important. Thank you so much, Professor, for being with us. Thank you so much, dear listeners. You were listening to IRIB English Radio. In case you have any message for us, any questions, any feedback, please feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir. You can also listen to this program again by logging into our official website, which is www.parstoday.ir/en. There's a tab, COI, Call of Islam, wherein you can find our old programs. Well, you can also find us on these social media platforms by just searching Call of Islam. Thank you so much for listening. You were listening to IRIB English Radio. Until another session, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Do you know what Islam says? It says that life's the greatest test. It says that life's a borrowed space, returned upon rest.